He is risen. I love that. Yes, today, of course, is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. This is really the most important annual celebration in the Christian church, when we celebrate the victory that Jesus won and the new life available to all people because of him and who he is. Last Sunday, Palm Sunday, we remembered that moment in Jesus' life where he rode into Jerusalem and he was celebrated by crowds of people. And then just this past Friday, Good Friday, we gathered here and we took time to remember the betrayal Jesus experienced and his death. He had crowds of people celebrating him as the king on Sunday, and by Friday they demanded his death, his crucifixion. For Jesus' disciples and his friends, Saturday was a day full of grief and loss. Let's just take a moment to reflect on that and what happened afterward with this short video that we're going to show. The first one there. He's gonna turn those down. So from mourning and despair on Friday to rejoicing and awakening to a new reality in which Jesus had returned from the grave, Jesus' resurrection changes everything. So let's read from the Bible what we hear in God's word about this resurrection. If you have Bibles with you, or if you want to grab one of the ones in the seats, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 24 with me. We're going to read about this resurrection. Luke 24. Give everyone a moment to find that. I'm going to read starting in verse 1. It says, "But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise?' And they remembered his words. And the return from the tomb, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to all the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, and saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened." So these are the very first witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. After his crucifixion, Jesus had been confirmed dead by Roman authorities. He was taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb with a large stone rolled in front of the opening. Guards were placed at the tomb, and a Roman seal was placed on the stone because the priests who had Jesus killed were concerned that Jesus' disciples were to come steal the body away. But when these women went on Sunday to anoint the body, the tomb was open and empty. And the angels who were there told them that Jesus did just as he said he would, that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. And then there were several more encounters that people had with Jesus to follow. We're going to continue in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13 now. We read there that that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. When one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women in our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near a village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly to stay, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened up to us the scriptures?" And they rose at that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." So Jesus, again, appeared to some of his disciples. He stayed with them, shared a meal with them. Later, he appeared among a group of his disciples, showing them his hands and his feet, the physical evidence of his crucifixion. And he ate with them and gave them an understanding of what the scriptures said about him. Over the next 40 days, he would make several appearances to people. The Apostle Paul tells us he showed himself to over 500 people in that time, showing proof that he was alive and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. Many of those people would have still been alive when the gospel writers wrote their biographies of Jesus, when Paul wrote his letters about the church, confirming that what they wrote was true. So this event, the physical resurrection of Jesus from the grave, is the central truth that this Christian faith is built on. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." Everything we know about God, what he's doing in the world and the work that he's doing in us and through us, his church, has the resurrection of Jesus as its foundation. And so we declare with faith and full of joy and hope in him today, Jesus is alive. He is risen. Let's go back to that first encounter Jesus had with his disciples for a moment and reflect on some of the things that Jesus said to them. I'm going to read from Luke 24, verses 46 through 50 now. Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. So there's several important points about what Jesus said. First of all, he reminds them that this was the fulfillment of God's plan. Everything that he experienced was part of God's plan, a plan that had been communicated centuries ago through prophets that God had sent, and it was something that Jesus himself had told people would happen, that he would be put to death and he would be raised again in 3 days. This was God's salvation plan for mankind. Jesus is the Son of God. He has this unique nature. First of all, he is God. He was present in the beginning of the world. All things were created through him, and all things are held together by him. But he also came into the world as a human being. He lived as a man and experienced all of life in the same way that we do. He experienced all that's good and wonderful about the world. He's experienced all that's horrible and concerning about the world. But unlike any of us, he lived a perfect life in fellowship and obedience to the Father. He alone was without sin. And so because of his nature as the Son of God, and because he was a man without sin, Jesus alone was capable of offering his own life as a perfect sacrifice for all the sins of all of mankind, all of yours and all of mine. By returning from the grave, Jesus showed that he had overcome sin and death. His death made payment for the sins of mankind and fulfilled justice. And his resurrection gives assurance that he made payment in full, that there is no sin too great for him to overcome. Every other person, everyone besides Jesus, including all of us here, have sinned against God. And that means we have ignored his existence as creator of life. We have disregarded his will, his desires for how we should live with one another and with him. The Bible describes God's will as pleasing and perfect. God knows what's best for us, and he designed the world in such a way that we would live according to his will in fellowship with him to have the most fulfillment in life. But we have all at times chosen to follow our own will, our own desires. We want what we want. That's the essence of sin. That's what sin is. We live according to our will rather than God's. And because of our sin, we have all separated ourselves from God, a God who wants to be close to us, who wants to provide himself to us. And because of that, we are all deserving of God's judgment on our sins. But God doesn't want that barrier to be between us. He doesn't want to be distant from us, and he doesn't want anyone to be condemned for their sin. And so out of love for us, Jesus went to the grave willingly by his own choice. And after he was put to death, he came back and overcame death. This powerful act is what provided every person in this world the opportunity to receive forgiveness and new life from God. And that means you, every one of you here, is worthy of God's love and grace. Jesus' resurrection means that God has already decided you are worthwhile to him. You are worth Jesus giving up his life for. And there's new life available to you through Jesus, a life in which your identity is not based on what you've done or how well you've performed. It's a life that's not driven by the need to prove your worth out of obedience to God's standards. But rather, through Jesus, you can have a life that's rooted in the knowledge that you are loved and accepted by God, and nothing you do will ever change that. A life in which you know God's forgiveness is available to you at every moment whenever you ask for it. That's the foundational truth that we live by every day. It's what gives me hope every morning. The knowledge that our lives are defined by the love and power of Jesus rather than our sins and our past provides enduring hope for the future. And just as Jesus told his disciples, we continue to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. That phrase, repentance for the forgiveness of sins, says all you need to know about what it means to receive a new life in Christ. Repentance simply means acknowledging your sin, acknowledging you've done wrong against God, and deciding that you want to live differently, beginning to see the goodness in God's ways. And deciding that that's what you want. That's what repentance is. And we're all free to repent or to confess of our sins without any fear of rejection by God. You can know this because of what Jesus has already done. And once you've made that decision to change, you can freely receive what Jesus has done for you. Jesus has done the hard work in making forgiveness available to you. He paid with his price, or paid with his life, and with the rejection of all those around him. And now he offers it freely to you if you will ask for it and receive it. We simply need to recognize our need for forgiveness, accept Jesus for who he is, and receive it by faith in him. That's the beginning and the turning point of new life. It is an amazing and powerful thing that God has done that changes your perspective on the world completely. Gives you a new outlook and a new path to follow in life. Through this act of faith, we can become reborn ourselves in Jesus. In this new life, when we set aside our old desires, we lay down our old identity, we identify ourselves with Jesus himself. We take on his love, along with the promise of his ongoing presence through the Holy Spirit. That was the other point that Jesus made with his disciples before he left, that the Father would send the Holy Spirit so that you can know that you are never alone, that you always have God's presence to be your guide, your strength, your support, your teacher. God is with you because Jesus has God is able to be with you because Jesus has made you clean through his forgiveness. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the essence of the Christian life. That we live through Christ now because he went before us and he gives us new life. Through him, each of us is offered the opportunity to be reborn and transformed in him. You gain this new life through recognition of your sin and by receiving in faith what Jesus has done for you. We have a video we want to show you. This is something that several members of the church here have participated in by contributing their drawings, and Kent put this together just to give us an opportunity to once again reflect on what Jesus did for us. And as you watch these images and you listen to the music that goes with it, I want to encourage you to consider what Jesus has done for you. And as you do that, if you've been walking by faith in him and already, maybe several of you here have been living by faith in Jesus for years, just take this moment as an opportunity to once again receive in faith what Jesus has offered you. Recognize who you are in Christ and rejoice that you are a new creation in Christ. And if you're just now recently coming to recognize that you have this need for God's grace and forgiveness, you're just coming to understand who Jesus is and what he's done, and you have a desire to follow his will, maybe today is a day for you to make that personal commitment to receive by faith what he offers. Consider turning to him and receiving him today. As you watch this video, and then at the end of the video, I'll come up and pray for us, and I'll lead us in a prayer of just repentance and receiving Christ. And I invite you to make that a personal prayer for yourself as well. So let's go ahead and play that video, and I'll come back up in the end to pray.
I've got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment. Oh, how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he is my strength, and he is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, God really loves us.
confess with your heart, or your mouth, and that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is essential truth. Lord, we do come before you today. We first of all do confess our sin. Confess that we have selfish hearts and minds, that we want things, Lord. And we go after them without any regard for what you may want. And Lord, even when we know you, and even when we have your Spirit, we continue to fall short of your glory. But Lord, we give you thanks because Jesus gave his life for us, that he has paid the penalty for our sins, that we can have confidence that we can stand before you pure and clean because of Jesus, not because of ourselves. Lord, we want to live for you. We want to show you this love that you've shown us. We desire a new life, new desires, a new heart, Lord, and you promise to give those to us. And so we thank you today for the gift of grace, the gift of forgiveness through Christ. We receive it, Lord, in faith. We proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that he has died for our sin. We accept that gift of forgiveness. And Lord, as we accept that, may you fill us with your Spirit. May you teach us to hear you, to discern your truth, to desire what you want, Lord. We desire you to change our lives. We thank you for the way that you already have in so many ways, and we look forward to the ways you continue to change us, Lord. I pray for your blessing over every person gathered here today, that they may know you in a new way today. They may be filled with your love, with your Spirit. And most of all, Lord, may every person know that you have offered them forgiveness and a new life through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.